Now this is the beginning of Channel 2 Right. Beginning of Channel 2 Right. About the Saturday, the 11th of July, 1970. Saturday morning, the 11th of July, 1970. The rainy season has started now. We're having rains. But the air is right heavy. Can't get much work done. I call Willie about his time to get up, about 9 o'clock, a little after. See if he could help me a little this morning. He said he had to mow that long grass over there. And he just dreaded that like thunder. But he thought he might get over here. I'm setting up for Willie on Saturday morning, the 11th of July, 1970. I'm setting it up for Willie on Saturday morning, the 11th of July, 1970, in case he gets over here.
Say? This is like unto a thunder demo.
Yes. We had to try and cut that thing down a little last time, didn't we? Yeah, I'd love to hear what John had to say.
That's what John said? Well, I had fixed some sandwich spread to use all over there. Mm-hmm. And we'd use it about every other night. And it was still last. I'd mix some more mayonnaise or something with it, you know. And way after a while, somebody at the table said, "My, this is an awful good sandwich spread." And John said, "Well, it's been blessed enough to be good. It's been blessed enough to be good.
Been blessed."
We said the blessing over.
He is so funny. I like him so much.
He has that Willingham sense of humor, kind of like the uncle.
Yeah. Now, let me see. He is John Collier?
John Collins.
Mm-hmm. And he's in South Carolina.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. His mother was Ora Collins. Ora Willingham. See, my mother. His mother's father was my mother's oldest brother, and he was a doctor.
So, yeah, again. Mm-hmm. His mother was fine.
I say his mother's father was my mother's oldest brother.
Oh, yeah.
He was a doctor.
Mm-hmm.
In Canton, Georgia. And she married this Collins, who was a lawyer, much older than she.
Mm-hmm.
And they just had the one child.
Oh, he's an only child.
Mm-hmm.
Well, he, his mother died?
Mm-hmm. He died in the last week in December, in January of this year.
Oh, just that recently?
Oh.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's why this is such an important visit. It's his first time away from home since he lost his mother.
Oh, Lord.
And it's going to be his first flight back on the airplane.
Mm-hmm.
So I wanted it to be very pleasant for him.
Well, he lived with his mother,
mm-hmm,
until she died. Well, did he take care of her, or did she take care of him?
Mm-hmm. Well, he's more like the Willingham than is the Collins. More like his mother's child even than his father. And let me tell you, what did your mother say? The church where they attend, about installed and dedicated on Mother's Day, a lovely set of chimes in her memory.
Oh.
And they had quite an elaborate celebration on Mother's Day, speeches and special music and everything. And John was there, of course, and they had him stand. They recognized him from there in the congregation. And he had a new suit and everything, all dressed up. And in his lapel, he had a pink rose on.
A pink.
Mm-hmm. And he went home, and after that, he took his picture. And he sent it to me. And he said, "You will notice the pink rosebud in my lapel."
Mm-hmm.
He said, "I understand perfectly the meaning, that the significance of the different color flowers on Mother's Day. But," he said, "to me, my mother still lives."
Mm-hmm.
She'll always live in my memory, in my life, and I'll never tend to wear white rose for her.
Uh-huh.
I thought that was a sweet song. Mm-hmm. I thought it took a lot of courage to stand there before a sanctuary full of people dedicating something to his deceased mother on Mother's Day, but it's St. Rosebud.
Yes, it was.
But that's John. Now, he just has that. He has that much courage of his conviction.
Mm-hmm.
He said, she'll always live in my memory, and I never intend to wear a white flower for her.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's marvelous.
Oh, yes. Now, that was in the big church there.
Oh, well, yes. Mm-hmm.
Pretty church.
Mm-hmm. White Oak Baptist Church in Greenville.
In Greenville.
Mm-hmm.
So you know where Greenville is?
Mm-hmm. Greenville, Spartanburg, Anderson, and Greenwood.
Yeah.
You know, they're all nice, aristocratic towns.
Mm-hmm.
Due West is not far away, and Abbeville.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of nice towns
mm-hmm.
there.
Mm-hmm.
Are you a Tennessean?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I visited a man up there in Spartanburg, little town of Honey
mm-hmm.
Pass.
Well, I have a visit up there. I think I've been up there. Well, Lois, it'd be nice to visit up there every now and then, wouldn't it?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I go there every summer.
But you don't stay long.
No.
I
stay about a week. I stay about a week.
Is that long enough?
Mm-hmm.
What do you do while you're up there?
Oh, they were just begging me to stay. We're having a good time all the time, but the summers are short. And I always have to go up New York to see my sister. So.
Mm-hmm.
And the last 7 years, this aura has been a complete infamy. But my house.
John's mother.
Mm-hmm. And she kept teaching music.
Oh.
For a long, long time. She all her hands were badly crippled, and her feet. But her pupils didn't want it. She said, "Well, of course she couldn't play.
Mm-hmm.
She couldn't play, but she they wanted to take lessons from us right
mm-hmm.
on."
Well, did John have a cook, or is he the cook?
You know, they have a maid twice a week. And John, yes, he got to be a pretty good cook. He does the best breakfast you most have ate.
Oh, really?
But it ought to be. It takes him so long, and he does it so painstaking that, you know, bacon's awfully good if you just stand there and constantly turn it.
Yeah.
Well, that's the bacon. That is always straight, looks like just like a picture, just like a ship maker should be. When you measure the coffee, if the bottle says a level tablespoon, well, I mean to tell you, it's level. He looks at it and measures it and puts a little bit back until it's exactly a level teaspoonful.
Each one.
He's just perfectionist.
Each one.
A bag of breakfast. Uh huh.
Well, what else did they have for breakfast?
What?
What else did they have for breakfast?
Well, he has bacon. If it doesn't have bacon, he'll have sausage. And they can offer the sausage up in there.
Oh, you were telling me that.
They know where they can go to get the mountain. People in the living mountains, they bring their ham down there and their sausage. And they live there always, the greens have. They know where to go to these markets where they can get this
mm-hmm.
homemade sausage. Yeah, that. Then he'll have the eggs. His eggs are always kind of good. And they sometimes don't always have, but sometimes they have some homemade bread. That's very good.
Mm-hmm.
And then it's always marmalade or jelly or something. And then for supper they always have tomato sandwiches and potato chips and it's got the peanut butter or something and Pepsi and some kind of cookies.
Oh, for supper.
And then they have. They always have a good dinner. Sometimes they send to a caterer in town, and they'll send out two dinners, or three dinners.
Oh,
that's
nice,
isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Now, I know some of those restaurants cook good
mm-hmm,
food.
Mm-hmm. And they order, and they send it out. And then Mary Bell, who would be John's cousin, because his mother is Ora's sister, She lives in Spartanburg, but she comes over there every Friday.
Now Spartanburg is a good piece.
Yeah, it's about 28 miles.
Uh-huh.
But on the expressway, Mm-hmm. All that, well, you can run down there in 25 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
You could.
Uh-huh. And she could. And she'd come in 20. She has a Cadillac and a heavy foot at that. But she's great on these casserole dishes.
Mm-hmm.
And she'll make them up, four or five different kinds, and bring down there and put them in his icebox. And then until she comes again, he just has to get those out and run through the oven.
Well, what's that? He's spoiled.
Yeah, he's spoiled.
Why, good, suppose somebody did you that way.
Mm-hmm.
You wouldn't be worth hoot, would you?
Well, I'm kind of spoiled, too.
Well, who?
Coming up here, all these good meals, and going to the floor with all her good meals. There.
Now, who is that that does that?
Well,
That's her sister?
His mother had one sister.
Yeah.
Her name was Belle. And his mother's name is Ora. Those are two girls about my age.
Yeah.
And they're more like my sister, really, than my own sister.
Yeah.
Because I'm 9.5 years older than my sister.
Well, is this his aunt who does that?
Mm-hmm. No.
His cousin.
Cousin. Both these girls, their father, Belle and Ora, their father was my mother's oldest brother.
Yeah.
And they live in Cannon, Georgia.
Yeah.
But Belle married the Green, and Greenville moved out there.
Mm-hmm.
And then later, Ora, whose husband was a very brilliant lawyer the time she married him, but he began to lose his health soon after his child was born.
Yeah.
And so then they, in time, moved out to Greenville, too. And John has spent his life looking after that father and then his mother.
Is that right?
Mm-hmm. So he's had an unbalanced, unnatural kind of background.
Well, he interests me. I think he's about it.
Well, he must be gifted, though, in a lot of ways, isn't he?
But he's a little bit of an introvert because he's been, at the time his father was sick like that. I don't know whether he had a pressure back here or a tumor or what. But, you know, he gradually got to where he just wasn't there, you know what I mean? And people were embarrassed about those days. For mental sickness.
Mm-hmm. His father.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Oh.
And they didn't want to send him off. And
isn't
he wasn't,
mm-hmm.
You know, he wasn't really out of his mind.
Mm-hmm.
But he just wasn't there somehow.
Mm-hmm.
And so.
John
McCaffrey.
Oh, yeah.
And he lived and lived and lived and lived and finally had a stroke. He died in 1942.
Well, that's why I lived so long ago, John took care of him.
Mm-hmm. And they just loved him and took care of him. And as though they wouldn't have thought about putting him in their own. They weren't home then out of where they put him. They just had to put him in the asylum, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
He wasn't crazy.
Mm-hmm.
So that's been his background.
Mm-hmm. Well, I think it's a beautiful life.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, well, why would that make him an introvert?
Well, I mean, he's a, I don't know where that's worded up, but he's a shy.
Yes, shy.
Uh-huh. And yet he's small. He can talk about most anything.
Yep.
They live in front of the TV. They know all the modern things that's going on.
He's got a marvelous sense of humor.
Mm-hmm. And he never forgets a thing. And his mother never forgets a thing. Now, Belle who married the Green, who was a little older than she, last summer when I was there, Belle and I sometimes couldn't remember anything. We said, what was that woman? Who was that? Do you know?
Mm-hmm.
When did that happen? Belle said, ask Ora. Said, she never forgets anything. We'd ask her anything from way back, when something took place, anybody's name, who married Susan. But Ora knew everything. She never did forget anything. But Belle and I might think of it tomorrow. But sometimes when we're talking, we couldn't call it. But not Ora. And John has that kind of memory, too.
He liked that, too.
Mm-hmm.
Hmm. I think people like that are rather impatient with us.
Mm-hmm.
That
but, you know,
seems
I wish,
so simple to them.
I wish John would now get a job or something.
Yeah.
Now, they have plenty of income from... Those Greens have big money. And that Belle, Green, that aunt, I don't know what she has set up in the way of a trust fund or something, but I know John has plenty of money. Not big plenty of money, but he has sufficient for his needs and his. And he has a nice home, brick home, 3 bedrooms and 2 baths. And she had a studio, honey. She had the nicest studio right in connection with her house. The people didn't have to come in the house like to come in my house.
Mm-hmm.
There was a separate entrance.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And she had a room for the waiting room for them.
Uh-huh. My goodness.
So that he has nice property there.
Go ahead, mm-hmm. Lewis, and eat a bite. Faye, mm-hmm. You see, we won't let her eat. I've eaten. Now I need to drink water if I had one.
But you know, I haven't met a young fellow in a long time that I thought was as interesting as John. He has a marvelous sense of humor.
And I'm so glad for him to meet new people. Now, everybody up there just humors in and keeps kind of telling him and spoiling him. I think if he'd get out and rub up against some strange people, some strange experiences, it would bring him out. And I wish he would send those clippings, those illustrations that he has. I wish he'd send them all.
Why, yes, they're wonderful.
So they're fine.
Some of the drawings.
Do you have some of them?
Mm-hmm.
I want to see them. Why don't you bring them? Say, why not think of that?
I don't know, but they are.
When you were down there, you know, Norris was telling you about the drawings. Well, why didn't I remind her?
I don't know, but they are interesting. They ought to be sent
mm-hmm.
out.
One about grandmother's clock. I'd like to see that one.
And he doesn't care about landscape. He doesn't do landscape.
Uh-huh.
He does cartoons.
Yeah.
And portraits.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
Who does he do? His friends?
Mm-hmm. He's had some lessons by mail, I think. And that's all.
Yeah. Hey, he don't need to work. He's got enough to do without working.
Well, he could...
Anybody can work.
Mm-hmm. Anybody can work,
mm-hmm.
Lois.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that takes no brain at all, Lois,
mm-hmm.
to work.
But I didn't know how to talk to him, or whether I should talk to him, so I didn't. But not that he maybe he doesn't need the income, but he needs the contacts. He needs, seems to me.
Yeah.
He has a lot of cameras. He plays about cameras.
Oh, really?
And he never goes to town that doesn't go in the camera shop. Right? And they say, hold on. They all know him in there. I thought, I wish I could tell him, why don't you try to get a part-time job down at the camera shop? Just some of how some of them taking vacations, working or something like that.
Uh-huh.
Well, if you know, he certainly knows cameras.
You tell him to come back down here and take some pictures out here for me.
Mm-hmm.
I like to have pictures of all my neighbors.
Yeah,
uh-huh.
Don't you? Yeah. Mm-hmm. But
he probably has some fine cameras.
Mm-hmm. But I know we had experience Thursday night. We went to that Bobet Farm out west of Fairfield.
Tell us about it.
And the owner of that farm has as a hobby a lot of wild animals, buffaloes and all. And deer and elk and 200-300 acres of them. It's all fenced in. I guess there's a fence that's 20 feet high. And that's a hobby.
Whereabouts?
Out west of Fairfield.
That's that Bobet Farm.
Bobet Farm.
Mm-hmm. Hey, you never heard of it?
I've just heard her say.
Mm-hmm.
I never heard of anything like that.
No, I hadn't.
Oh yeah. And they have fine horses, because that's that'd be the commercial end of it. But this other is just purely a hobby.
Mm-hmm.
Well, did he know about it, or did you know about it?
Well, I knew about Bobet, but I didn't been a horse farm, but I didn't know they had all the other animals.
Mm-hmm.
But the Richardsons and John and me, John and I, we were invited. He's an English teacher.
Me,
okay.
I said.
Me, that's what I thought first. we were invited to Fairfield to supper. at the Presbyterian Church, a benefit by the Gibsons. You know the Gibsons?
You're getting too many ramifications.
Yeah, you know the Gibsons. Well, they're big Presbyterians out there, and they have to help the church, and so they might as well invite a whole bunch of people to come to the benefit supper.
Yeah.
Not, so they invited us. And out there, we met the man who takes care of those animals and feeds them.
Yeah.
And Mark had known him, I think, and of course, the Gibsons knew him. So he said, "Well, if you want to see, I'll take you out there." So we heard they ate late at supper. And
yeah.
We found the motorcade of three cars and went out there. So,
yeah.
And John, man, he really enjoyed it. He was crazy about animals.
Yeah.
But it was nice. And the whole thing, they got a Holstein cow out there. I reckon, is that tall?
Oh, and they're huge, those Holsteins.
And they had bred that cow with a buffalo.
Wow, Lord.
Mm-hmm. And they had a calf. That's about 2 or 3 months old, and he said it weighed 200 or 300 pounds now. About 300 pounds now, and he said that calf gets to be 10 months old. He said I think it'll weigh 1,000 pounds.
The calf looked like a buffalo or a cow.
Looked more like a cow.
Yeah. I don't guess I ever saw a buffalo, really. Well, you all did get around, didn't you?
I sure did.
Mr. Gibson.
Ed Gibson.
Ed Gibson.
A lot of Gibsons out around Fairfield.
Oh.
Well, now, is he moving there, or is he...
Oh, no, they're old-timers. His wife is a DeVore. DeVore was old-timers, too, in Marion County.
Yeah. Gibson. Well, I thought all the horse people were outsiders.
Well, they are. Now, Ed doesn't have he doesn't have that kind of a farm. But he lives out there and knows those people.
Oh, I see.
And this, the Bobet people have the horse farm. But in connection with that, they also have 200 or 300 acres of this other kind of stuff.
Which
is just a hobby. The wild animals.
Yeah.
Now that is something.
Well, what does he have to do with it? Gibson.
Who?
What does Gibson have to do with it?
He don't have anything to do with it.
He just...
They've just had their supper. And this man who feeds them was there. His name was Pierce or something. Pierce invited all of us to go out there.
Oh, I see.
The Richardsons,
yeah.
Gibson.
Gibson invited you to the supper.
Yeah,
and Pierce invited you to go out to the Bobet farm.
And the people who went were to the farm, were Mark and Flora, and John and I, and Gibson and his wife.
Yeah.
And then there was a doctor and his wife from Iowa who were at the supper. And they said they want to go too, so they went in their car.
Oh.
And the man who was going to show us went in his white Chevrolet truck ahead of us, and we followed him.
Yeah.
Beautiful drive out there that time of day.
Yes.
Beautiful pastures.
Oh, man.
And those fences impressed you so much, too, why he had a foster in those. Those fences must have been 20 feet high.
Yeah. Metal.
Mm-hmm. And those elk with those great big...
Well, just a regular park.
Why, yes. A regular?
Well, sir. How far is it from Fairfield?
Well, it's several miles. And I'll tell you this. We stopped at the barn, and the barns look like motels on those places. We stopped at the barn and met a Mr. Brown, who's a night watchman.
A security guard is what they call him now.
And he's calling what?
Security guard.
Oh, a security guard. Thank you. But he goes on duty at 4:30.
Yes.
And this Mr. Pierce, who's the man who feeds him, introduced us to this Mr. Brown as we went in this thing. And these when those animals all saw Mr. Pierce's truck, they were grazing way out there, but they see that truck and they all came up so fed. They thought we were gonna get fed again, And that's what we wanted. We wanted to feed them.
Sure.
And so they came up there, and we went from pasture to pasture, lot to lot, to see all these different kinds.
Good.
And Mark got, the more his father went, the more impressed Mark became, Mark Richardson.
Yeah.
And, the Richardson have a new car.
And they had never seen it either.
No, they'd never seen it either.
They didn't even know it was there either?
No. And Mark became so impressed, he said, this man, he said, I want to bring some other people. I want to come again. What can I do? Who must I see? Or what must I do to be able to come out here and bring some parties? Well, this man says, when we go back, we'll tell Mr. Brown that he's the night watchman. Goes, oh, you know, he's a security guard. He's a security guard. And said, you better see him. You better let him know you're here.
Yeah.
Because said he's plenty hardball. He said the other night, he called me in the middle of the night. And he said, there's two men out here. I don't know who they are or what the business is out here. But he says, if you hear anybody shoot, you know, I'm just taking care of myself. And this man said to his wife, he said, I better go out there, because that man, you know, he would shoot. Go out and see who the what's all about. So he said, went out there, and by the time I got there, he said those men had disappeared. So he said, you better let Mr. Brown know you're on the premises, who you are.
Some shooting
going
on.
Well, now, where did John, does he like those things?
Oh, yeah. Uh-huh. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I took him to Homosassa Springs. They have a lot of animals down there.
Oh, did they?
Uh-huh. So he liked those.
He said, I thought I heard him say he just soon stay at home and clean house.
Well, he is very happy and very satisfied at home.
You don't have to show him around.
Mm-mm.
He's satisfied.
No, he didn't. No, I didn't. He wasn't. I mean, he's been perfectly satisfied just stay around the house with the TV. That he created that TV.
Yeah.
Oh, really?
Mm-hmm.
Well, does he have just one?
No. He had about four.
Yeah. All together around.
You know, there's one in his bedroom, there's one in the dining room, and there are two in their sitting room, a colored and a black and white.
Yeah. Well, does he play them like I do?
Mm-hmm.
At the same time?
Mm-hmm.
That's what he said, sitting here, wasn't it? That's
mm-hmm.
right.
What do you say, Faye?
He asked you if you played them like he did, both of them at the same time.
Well, I don't play them both at the same time, but I have them both on at the same time.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Is that what he meant?
That's what he meant.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And they have other TVs around the house, because when you trade them in, you can't get anything for them anyway. So just that means they say, we have a graveyard of TVs. This house is a graveyard of TVs. And the second TV I have, they gave me, this Maribel gave me, because they have two houses. They have this place in Swanbury, they have a place at Greenwood Lake, and they have more than one in each house,
uh-huh.
And they're wanting to get a colored TV, and it got such a little bit of trade-in value, so they just kept them too, so she gave me one. And so I said, well, just me, I need two TVs, like I need two heads. But she said, we want to get to somebody. She said, get it out of the way. So she said, we're going to put it in the trunk of your car. So I brought it home.
Well, do you listen to the news?
Mm-hmm.
Well, you always have two stations to the news. And you can't just pick out one and let the other go.
Mm-hmm. I have one in the sitting room and one in my bedroom.
Well, you can't see them both.
No, I can't see them both at the same time that way.
Let me get you a hot roll.
Get a hot roll, baby. Those are cold,
old cold. No, I'm a sore eater. And when I talk, I'm even sore.
Well, now you just take your time. Oh.
He doesn't have a car.
He doesn't have a car.
He has a bicycle. And he rides a city bus. But as long as Belle lived next door, Belle used to live next door.
Oh.
Until she had a stroke.
Mm-hmm.
And then Maribel came down. They didn't need a car then, because Belle's car was just at their disposal all the time.
Mm-hmm.
And then when she lost her help, Maribel sold the old home place, moved her mother over to the farm. But they come every Friday to see Oran John.
Mm-hmm. But now then... What I was so interested in was that John's mother said, don't take John to town in a car.
Mm-hmm.
Ride the bus.
Mm-hmm. Because she said, it's so much trouble to park the car to town, all the traffic.
Yeah.
And said, it'll be a new experience for you to ride the bus. And John is used to riding the bus, and it's so much more convenient. You can get off right in front of Belk, so wherever you want to go, down Main Street.
Yeah.
And walk from there to the other shop, and come back to that corner and get your bus and come home.
Yes. There you are. But you have to have a car. You don't like a bus.
I thought I was doing them a service to take them to town, you know, but they thought it would be more fun for me to ride the bus.
And John rides his bicycle, and he doesn't see any need for a bus.
Mm-mm, mm-mm.
Or be, a, I mean, for
a car.
It'd be a great relief if I didn't have to have a car.
Mm-hmm. So he doesn't have that expense.
Yeah.
He doesn't have that expense.
And that's his expense, isn't
it? He has 4 TVs. He has 2 telephones. He doesn't need a second telephone now, but they had one right by her chair.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just still there, but... It could be disconnected for that matter. No.
Yeah.
And she had the merriest voice with the lilt in it. And people call her on the phone and ask how she was. Just fine, just feeling fine, thank you. How are you? And then they hear come this volley of complaints about how they were feeling. They she could hardly hold the thing to talk to them with her crippled hands.
Uh-huh.
But she just fine, thank you.
Well, now he had good influence, hadn't he?
Mm-hmm. Where's the one now?
What do we decide?
How are you going to tell it? Now, it looks just like an ordinary watermelon, but it's not, according to
Cooper. Where's the knife? I can't see.
Lord, finish
your
problem.
No, I'm doing it.
Just right.
Well, I believe I come across that way, the long way.
The long way?
Uh-huh.
That's the way he was going to do it.
Mm-hmm.
This is one that's grown slowly.
Yeah. Uh-huh. Who grew it? You don't know.
I don't know the man, no. He's up at Hawthorne.
My, what a good knife.
A good knife, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
How about it?
My, is that the prettiest thing?
Now, isn't that a beautiful thing?
It's all hard.
Uh-huh.
All hard.
Uh-huh. I said they're watermelons and watermelons, but this man brought it to us and said, no, this is really special.
Why, yeah. I should have one more exposure in my camera to take a picture of that.
Yeah.
Let's see. Now then, let's try to cut this.
Yeah, I think so, too. I think we're going to cut it like that.
And then we're going to have more if we need it.
Well, sir?
Mm-hmm.
Now let's see.
I'll keep my fork.
Keep your fork.
Now that's in Greenville.
Is it good as it looks?
Yes, it's fine. Lord, do they have any help? Faith?
You mean? Huh? You mean the house help or what?
Mm-hmm.
I said they had this color woman came twice a week.
Yeah.
Now, what do we, you want some, there's some salt.
Yeah, I want some salt.
All right.
Mm-hmm.
Will it shake?
Yeah.
It's cold and sweet.
Mm-hmm.
Can you get that? Just the regular old one.
Well, I wish we'd had this one, John, was here.
Well, that's what I planned.
He has all,
well,
he has
watermelons and everything else, but, and we have watermelons.
And they have good ones too up there.
Mm-hmm. It's come down, I find it. Yeah, I turned that, see. It's
oh,
yes. The other woman comes one day a week, cleans the house. Then the next day that you come, the next time that you come, John. John has an electric washer and dryer. But sometimes I think you have to iron.
What kind of house is it, Lois? Old house?
No, not old house. When they first moved from Georgia out there, they built quite a nice frame house, three bedrooms, two baths. On the other side of where the Greens lived, and then Liberty Life insurance people moved out there and bought some acreage, and joining Ora Collins' lot, they put up their $3 million main office building, and they wanted to buy her place to landscape, to finish their landscaping. They paid her $25,000 for the lot, and they said, "You can have the house. You don't want the house. We're going to tear the house down anyway, so you can have the house." So they paid $25,000 for the lot. Then they moved that house to the other side of where the Greens lived and fixed it up to rent. And then with the $25,000, Bristow, that was Belle's husband, who was a kind of business manager for them all, but this time John Collins had died, John Collins Sr. And Bristow said, "You might as well put all this back into the house just like you want it, because if you don't, you have to give it to the government anyway." So they built a brick house, three bedrooms and two baths, and this studio.
Uh-huh.
So it's new. See, it's kind of new. It's in good repair. It has a nice big basement. And they rent that house. Now, there are three women who work at this Liberty Life.
Main
office building.
Uh-huh.
And they pay them, I think they pay him $100 a month rent.
So that's John's that's an income for him, too.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
All you know. Good.
And they're very nice neighbors. One girl goes home every weekend. The other goes home. She lives with her father. She goes home every other weekend. And the other never goes home because she doesn't have a home.
Mm-hmm.
She doesn't have any family, so she's there all the time. There's somebody there all the time, but the others go and come on weekends in that order.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And the reason why those Greens have so much money, they had this great big farm there, and it was a fair farm. But a lot of land wasn't worth anything about farming.
Mm-hmm.
But when that expressway went through there, all that earth around there just turned to gold dust.
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
And the farmland that they couldn't farm were just ravines and ruts. And now I do the landscape and fine estate people, those big textile presidents and things.
Mm-hmm.
Have beautiful ravines all landscaped, all the land that the Greens used to couldn't farm because it's too rough. Now then, this girl Belle, whose husband has since died, she just sells so much a year, and that's all. So many lots a year, and that's all she sells.
Before you know.
Mm-hmm. And this girl, Mary Belle, she was really born with a silver spoon in her mouth. Her father died not having a will.
Uh-oh.
And South Carolina gives the children half and the wife half. But she was the only child, so she got half of her father's estate when he died. And then her father had a sister, unmarried, who died. And her will, she gave Maribel half of that. So Maribel had to pay $60,000 inheritance tax.
Hmm. Hmm.
Sometimes it's
So from this land, some of it that was good farm, others were just held the good earth together. But on kind of the highway and everything. And the Texas people moving to there and seeing the prospects of those beautiful lots that they could landscape and make real estate out of. By the Greens had just gotten rich as well. Maribel was a Green, her mother married a Green, and then she married a Green.
Oh, really?
No wonder they named the Greenville County and Greenville, because there's five sets of Greens up in there.
Is that right?
But Maribel didn't marry a the man's not related to her at all, but he named Green.
Green, uh-huh.
Well, I must have had a very small piece.
If you want some more, you can go get it, can't it? I see some more over there, maybe it has your name on it. Well, I like this kind of watermelon. It doesn't have many seeds.
No.
Oh,
and it's all hard.
It's so cold, I can't tell whether it's as sweet as something that I've eaten or not. I don't believe I ever saw one that was all heart like this.
It certainly looks like that. You know, I never thought of that.
You can cut any melon and make it look all right, can't you?
No, I don't think so. This one isn't stringy. There's not any strings in it. Well, he made so much to do over it, you know, it's been so special. We haven't eaten any.
Well, I talked to John last night.
Oh, you did?
And I told him, you called yesterday?
Yeah.
And then see what else at it. Oh, I tried to tell him all the news. He got big head up watching Jim Camp come and go. You know Jim?
No.
You know Big Jim Camp, works for WRUF, he's a great big thing like this.
No.
You never see Jim Camp in Gainesville?
No.
Writes something about circling static for the paper. He's kind of new, director of WRUF.
Oh, really?
He's huge. He lives across the street from me.
Oh, does he?
Mm-hmm. No, I don't know.
So I said, Jim hadn't come in yet. John's room was upstairs, you know, so he could keep up with Jim's coming and going.
Yeah.
Jim comes in late all the time. Yeah. He goes to show because that's his business. He writes. He's a critic in the Greenville Sun. Don't know if he has a column or what, but he writes. He writes for that. He's also continuity director at WRUF.
And John liked to watch him coming and going.
He wanted to get his picture because he's so big.
Yeah.
But he said, Jim, come in so late at night, at least early in the morning, so I don't think I'm going to be able to get his picture.
Does he take good pictures?
Mm-hmm.
St. Louis just knows all sorts of interesting people.
Oh, yeah.
You do too if I give you time to talk about them. And Faye too.
Oh.
No.
Well, I'm so glad to hear about John because he did. You know, I thought we'd have him.
I thought he'd spend the summer with
him. I just didn't think about him going, you know.
Why would he have to go back?
He didn't have to go back. But, when they talked about him coming down, I said that I had planned to go to a wedding to a wedding in St. Petersburg today on the 11th. And I was going to take a car for a load of women. I didn't think he'd care for that. And next week I may have some others come in. And it didn't suit me. Then on the 24th I'm going to New York. see my sister. And I have some things I need to do. It just didn't suit me really to have it much longer than that. So I said I was going. And he said, well, I'll go home with you and stay till the 10th.
Uh-huh.
And then I didn't go to the wedding today because I've been having so much car trouble.
You just couldn't take a chance.
And Sunday I told the people that were going with me, you know, I wasn't using my car Sunday. And I said, if you have a chance, this wedding was Beverly Wynn, Wynn Store. McIntosh. They moved to St. Petersburg, and their oldest daughter is married this afternoon.
Mm-hmm.
And they wanted so many people from up here to come, and a lot of us wanted to go. And I thought, sure, I'd go, and I'd take a car full if I went.
And you missed that.
But I told them, Sunday, I said, if you have a chance, somebody else asks you to go to that wedding, you accept, because I don't know that I'm going to go. Because of my car. So, by Monday noon, they had to fix it. It was working all right. But I didn't go back and tell them, change my plans. Because I thought I'm going to be riding all this week with John, going here and there. And I said, come Saturday, I'll be ready not to take a trip.
Yeah.
Because I don't know St. Petersburg very well. And to try to find the church, and then find where the reception was. And then come back home between 8 and 9 o'clock something. I thought, I just don't believe I feel like it now. I was kind of tired.
Yeah. Well, somebody else would know.
Hmm?
Some of your passengers would know the way.
No. One of my passengers going to be Miss Hayden. She wouldn't know. Other going to be Miss J.H. Bateman. She wouldn't know.
No.
You know Miss Bateman?
Oh, yeah.
And the other one's going to be Miss Hattie Neal. She doesn't know.
Well, you just you needed John to go with you to show you the way.
Uh-huh. But I'm kind of scared of them expressways and city driving. I love my car. Nobody drives their car much more than I do. But I don't like roads I don't know, and I don't like city driving.
Well, now you're not going to drive to New York.
Oh, no. Uh-huh. I'm going to fly. Then Lucille, my sister and I are going to drive to Cape Cod. We're going to drive to Cape Cod in her car.
Yeah.
My sister lives in Rochester.
Mm-hmm.
That's where
mm-hmm.
I'm going.
Uh-huh. She just gads about all summer, guys.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that's a nice trip.
We're going to stay 2 days at Old Forge. That's in the Adirondacks.
Yeah.
She has a reservation. Then we're going to spend the night in Boston. With a friend of hers, who is the cutest thing, that Betty Hyde. And we're going to spend the night with her. Then we're going down to Cape Cod.
Who is Betty Hyde?
Hmm? Betty Hyde? Well, she has a D.D. degree from Yale.
Oh, D.D. degree.
Mm-hmm. Lucille met her in Rochester when she was a Minister of Christian Education at one of the churches. In her neighborhood.
Uh-huh.
Well, what in the world is cute about a person with a D.D.?
I know, but she is the cutest thing, and she's got more fun, more wit and humor about her. She is a sight. She is a scream.
And a D.D.?
And a D.D. I said, what all can you do? Well, she says, I can't.
No,
she said, I can... I can preach, and I can conduct funerals, and I can marry people. I can do anything a preacher can do.
Did she say that? You know, I asked a preacher once if they took a course in all that,
mm-hmm.
you know, and he says no. They didn't have a course in any of that. They just had to pick that up on the side.
I think they took up good many things on the side.
Oh, well, that's fine. Just going. Then you're going to just stay at on the Cape.
Mm-hmm.
Not going to run up to Nova Scotia.
No, we won't this time. Won't this time. And, oh, yeah, we do want to go to Martha's Vineyard this time.
Oh, yeah.
We didn't get that before.
Give Lois a better piece.
Mm-hmm.
We don't have to eat any.
No, I don't. Now I've got them. I know they're not in my piece.
Yeah, let's just eat the heart out.
No.
We won't eat on this anymore.
I'm still eating heart.
Yeah, it's all good. Well, you've been up there a lot of times, haven't you?
Mm-hmm.
Cape Cod, Martha's Vineyard, and all those
places. Yeah, we won't be going anywhere. I haven't been before. Oh, yes. And we're going to try to make it convenient to spend the night in Pittsburgh, New Hampshire.
Oh.
McDowell Colony.
Mm-hmm.
No, honey, I don't need any more. Let me eat this. We've been near there and saw the arrows pointed to the colony, but we didn't have time. But this time I told Lucille, I said, I wish you'd go by there and maybe spend the night coming back.
Mm-hmm.
Give this a cigar.
I just had a bite of it.
Hmm?
You have a bite of it.
Mm-hmm.
Just eat. Let's take this old piece away.
No, honey, that's too good, this piece to throw away.
Just eat on that piece right there. Just eat the heart.
I'm afraid you're being wasteful with this.
No.
You just watermelon.
No, you see what will happen is that we just won't eat the rest of it.
Uh-huh.
I tell you, Lois likes watermelon, and I bet you John likes watermelon, too.
Yeah, uh-huh.
Well,
I had some watermelon while I did one as good as this, but I did have some cantaloupes that was very good.
Mm-hmm.
I think cantaloupes always a dangerous thing to buy.
Yeah.
You never know if it's going to be good or not until you cut into it. And if it isn't good, it's very tasteless.
Oh, that's a good word.
Probably tasteless, yeah.
Did you ever know Esther Gist?
No. Down the lake?
Yes.
I used to go down to the bird place, but I knew the birds better than I did the people who owned it.
Mm-hmm. She sold all those birds to Homosassa Springs.
Oh, really?
Mordecai, her husband's name was Mordecai. Mordecai and Esther. Are they funny?
Uh-huh.
He had made the deal with the Norris cattle people about Homosassa Springs. And they had made, Watergate had made the deal to sell the birds just so he died. And Esther was so afraid maybe they wouldn't go on through with it after he died, but they did. She wanted to sell it, really.
Mm-hmm.
So they did. But anyway, what made me think of Mrs. Hayden told me a while ago that Esther, who has been down at Claremont in a retirement home,
mm-hmm.
fell this morning and broke her hip.
Oh.
Oh, that is just awful, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
The people just have to fall and break a hip, Lois?
Well, I don't know. we've had so many women to fall in Macintosh and break the hip, or break their ankle, or the wrist, or something. And Mrs. Lawson in Macintosh, who's an awful cute little woman, she's Scotch, they moved there from Saskatchewan. Regina, Saskatchewan. And so she fell here some time ago and broke her wrist. She says, now I'm a member of the Order of Fallen Women. And
well, who went to the little girl's wedding, Lois?
Well, the Rutlands went because he was going to assist in the ceremony. I guess the Rutman suggested because they should have been there last night for the rehearsal.
Does mm-hmm. he drive?
No, but she does.
She drives.
Mm-hmm. I don't know who went with him, if any. And I understand Mr. and Mrs. Edwin Walker went. And Mr. and Mrs. Collins, Eddie Collins, his wife, she works in the post office in Macintosh. He's a drywall man, Collins is.
Oh.
And I think maybe Ollie Huff went.
Oh.
And I'll be there for all. The dead ones didn't go, and the dead ones are kingdom. The dead ones in the rest.
Yeah. get to see. You make a trip like that, you know, and you get to see some of your own neighbors.
Yeah.
That's a nice thing about it.
Well, Betty Lou told me at the auction, the Lions Club auction, that day they were up from St. Petersburg. She begged me to come. She said, come and bring your car full of people. And she says, get off I-75 onto I-4. And when you get off of I-4, it won't be very hard at all to find the church. But she said, now, don't be that simple, though, to find your way from the church to our house where we're going to have the reception. But said Bill Wynn has nephews who live down there who know, and said we're going to have it arranged for these nephews to lead the way out to the beaches where their place is. Uh-huh. Well, then somebody had to lead me back to the idol.
Sure.
From out there.
Yeah.
So anyway,
they would.
I guess they would. Mm-hmm. But I'd rather be heating this water now.
That's right.
Well,
that's
I'm
right. You'd be down there now,
mm-hmm,
wouldn't you?
Mm-hmm.
Yes, I'm
well,
right
there.
Now. Mm-hmm.
Yes. If you.
Mrs. Hayden and Hattie and.
And Mrs. Bateman, I had planned to take. And I said, we'll take another. That's five. That's comfortable enough.
Mm-hmm.
Six to here to Ocala, maybe. But six from here to. Within two minutes,
yeah,
for whoever sits in the middle. But I don't know who that'd be, but I'm listening out. If people wouldn't hesitate to ask me if they knew my car was going, if they
mm-hmm
could go. I said I'll have room for one more, whoever wants to go. But I called it off.
I think she's smart, yeah.
She got cold feet, say. These interstates have her buffalo.
Yes, sir, they have me buffalo now.
John's having influence on her. She's going to be taking the bus, you see.
Uh-huh.
Well, it's best to just start taking the bus.
We don't have a bus. That's
no, we
trouble.
Don't have the bus. Mm-hmm. But now it's very convenient for them because the quarter right uptown, the quarter back.
That's right.
You can't drive
that's
your car
right
uptown.
And no, you can't park it for that hard.
No.
There you are. There you are. Oh, that would be nice if you
mm
could just step on a bus and go up there.
Now, last year when
oh,
I came in from, when I flew into Jacksonville last year from Rochester, Margaret Walker met me in Jacksonville at the airport. And we were late, we were very late getting in. Because I flew home on the 16th of August, I believe. On the 17th of August that they went up to walk on the moon. But anyway, I flew home the day before that.
Mm-hmm.
And when we got into Atlanta, when we began to approach Atlanta, they said, we've had a message that we'll be a 45-minute delay before we can possibly land in Atlanta. They just stacked up down there.
Uh-huh.
Commercial planes, private planes, everything trying to get to the Cape over here.
Mm-hmm.
To see the flight.
Mm-hmm.
So we cruised around for 45 minutes, and then they said, oh, loudspeaker, we're running out of gas. We had no word that we can land in Atlanta, so we run down to Birmingham to get some gas. And so we landed in Birmingham, and they said, if anybody wants to get off here, just get off. Make flight connection you can. For me, and some of them did.
Oh.
Got a Delta flight. I heard people talking about somewhere else. But I stayed with them, and we went back up there. We finally landed in Jacksonville. And when Margaret Walker met me, she had her two grandchildren with her. And she said, am I ever glad to see you? She said, I'm in a state of bankruptcy. In a state of bankruptcy, running, feeding the meter. It was 25 cents every half hour. Oh, and we've been there shit about 4 hours late. Guess so. And she said, besides that, they need children. They wanted, I better buy them everything.
Wow.
And they have all kind of toy shops around there, all kind of sweet shops, all kind of things to ride.
To get your money.
So I was right funny, I said, and but she said, I'm in the state of bankruptcy.
Who is that? Margaret who?
Margaret Walker. She's Mrs. Hayden's niece.
I don't know her, Margaret Walker.
Wilshire Walker. You know Wilshire
Walker? Oh, Wilshire, yeah.
And Wilshire's wife's name is Margaret.
Well, I didn't know she had a spark.
Huh? Yeah.
I didn't know she had a spark.
Mm-hmm.
I've been out there.
Yeah.
And she always seemed sort of solemn to me.
Uh-huh. Oh, no, she got a spark.
Yeah.
Oh, I thought that was funny. I've laughed about that many times.
Maybe she just didn't have a chance for a Wilshire wife.
Uh-huh. They're in Jamaica now.
What's he doing in Jamaica?
He's working.
What's he working at in Jamaica?
Construction work.
Construction work.
Mm-hmm.
Well, who's living in that beautiful house?
Just closed up.
He needs a security guard out there, doesn't it? Someone
mm-hmm.
to live in it for him.
Mm-hmm.
I wouldn't mind living in it for a while. Until I had to mow all that grass out there.
Yeah. Uh-huh. No, and Margaret, they're down there for 18 months anyway.
They are.
Mm-hmm. Working for the Navy?
No, it's a private construction company. I think... Well, he got in building through a company in Jacksonville, but they are a branch of a bigger concern, I believe, in Pittsburgh.
Uh-huh.
And they pay fabulous prices, fabulous wages, they say, salaries, for working out of the state. Wilshire has been with them.